Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Catholic Singles. Every day, hundreds of Catholic singles join CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love. Breadbox Media listeners get 20% off by using the promo code BREADBOX when they register. Come be our next success story at CatholicSingles.com. Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
I would not be where I am today without my parents.
My brothers are ridiculous.
Family events are great, minus the family.
God created family, but of course, no family is perfect. Whatever your experience, God's desire is for your family to become His family.
Well, our current series is taking a look at families, specifically our families and their relationship to our faith. God created the family, and God wants our families to be places where we learn to love and serve Him, acknowledging that when we're referring to family, we recognize that they come in all kinds of shapes and sizes and styles, and that our experience of family life keeps changing as the seasons of life unfold. But whatever our current experience, we all share a common experience of growing up in a family, and how God was represented to you in your family of origin plays a role, perhaps a huge role, in how you view God right now. For instance, chances are that if you grew up in a family where faith and a relationship with God was seen as a fairly positive thing, then you see faith and a relationship with God as a fairly positive thing right now. Even your home growing up, faith in God was connected to happiness and hope and healthy living. You probably stayed connected to church throughout your adult life in one way or another. On the other hand, if you have a negative view of Christianity or faith or church, it might very well be connected to your experience in your family. Maybe as a child, your family went to church, never miss a Sunday kind of family, but it didn't have so much to do with faith as it had to do with fear. God was to be placated. God was to be bargained with. Most of all, God was a God to be feared, inspiring shame and guilt and other negative emotions. And who could blame you for getting away as far and as fast as you could at your earliest opportunity? For some others, and increasingly for many others, you just didn't go to church as a kid at all. You didn't have a positive view. You didn't have a negative view. You had no view of any kind. Whatever your experience, your family played a role, perhaps a huge role, in how you currently view God. And it turns out God wants to use our families so that we can come to know Him better. Our job as Christ followers is to figure out how to do that, how to cooperate with that plan. And That's what this series has aimed to be all about. This series is about engaging and equipping you to more and more shape your experience of family according to your commitment to faith. So 2 weeks ago, we looked at the importance of weekly corporate worship, which is what we do here, as well as daily prayer. Prayer in our family, and including our family in a church family, are essential to the spiritual health of the family. Last week, we looked at reaching the lost members of our family and friends, those currently unconnected to Christ and His church. Jesus taught us that we are to be light for them. We are to be light for the lost, especially through our kindness and good deeds. Simple kindness, everyday good deeds, can make a compelling case for the truth of our faith. You know, throughout this series, we have been turning to some pretty simple principles and underscoring them. Some things that are so simple they're easily overlooked, and today is no different, because today we're going to look at the importance of spiritual conversations. Spiritual conversations in the circle of our families and among our friends. A spiritual conversation can be a conversation with God, for sure. We call that prayer. But it can also be a conversation in which we talk about God. We talk about who God is, how we connect to Him, what He wants from us, what He promises for us, and how He wants us to live and love others. Spiritual conversations mean connecting to our ultimate purpose in life and why we're here, touching upon the foundations, the fundamentals, the most basics of questions of our life. Jesus preaching and teaching wasn't all about theological pie in the sky and how we get to heaven when we die. Christianity is urgently concerned with how we live our lives right now, living together in peace and goodwill, making sense of disappointments, navigating success, managing worry and fear, sharing our struggles and doubt, and all kinds of other experiences we experience every single day besides. Spiritual conversations are all about that in the context of God's loving favor. Did you know the words conversation and conversion share the same etymology, the same root? They go together. Throughout our lives, our conversations can lead to conversions in many different ways, transforming and changing us, molding and moving us, shaping our thoughts and feelings, impacting our minds and hearts. But most of all, spiritual conversations are so important because they point to the relational nature of faith. We grow in faith relationally, and that happens most often in conversation. St. Paul knew this well and talked about it often in his writings. Case in point, today's second reading, where St. Paul said this: "We do not speak the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age." What's he talking about? Well, every generation has its own wisdom, so to speak, as humanity advances in various ways. An example in our day could be advances in medicine or space travel. The wisdom of our age, the wisdom of our generation. But there's a wisdom, quote unquote, of our age that is not wisdom at all. It's a misunderstanding that subsequent generations will recognize as false and flawed and reject. In a certain sense, our current use of social media might very well hold a certain false wisdom that those coming after us will reevaluate. Who knows? It's easy for us to look back and recognize the wrong thinking, the false wisdom of previous generations, things like segregation or slavery. But it's harder for us to notice the errors of our own time. Paul says his speech, his preaching and teaching, didn't focus on the wisdom of his age, either the false wisdom or the true wisdom. Rather, he turned to another wisdom, a higher wisdom, which he calls God's wisdom. Paul speaks God's wisdom that stands above every age, that is eternal and universal, that comes through the life and teaching, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul notes that the leaders, the rulers of his time, rejected the wisdom of God in rejecting the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And the reason that it's important for us to engage in spiritual conversations in our family and church family is because the world is often missing entirely or outright ignoring or rejecting the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God that is Jesus Christ. Paul concludes, "What eye has not seen, what ear has not heard, what has not entered the human heart is what God has prepared for those who love him." Our spiritual conversations are helping us to see what God is doing, which we can't always see all alone and on our own, to hear what God is saying above the noise of the world around us, taking us beyond the merely obvious to what is good and noble and true, to what is truly of God, moving us from the sublime, from the mundane to the sublime, to the better future God is preparing, which is what Paul is referring to. If you don't know even where to start when it comes to spiritual conversations, one place to start could be discussing your Mass experience after Mass, or sometime during the week, discussing the message, or the message of the music, or what happened in our kids' programs, what happened in our student programs. Not critiquing or criticizing those experiences, that's not the kind of spiritual conversation we're talking about. We're talking about the kind of conversation in which you discuss what touched your heart, what changed your mind. The best compliments, honestly, which I get, the ones that I value the most, are when people tell me that they were discussing my message on the ride home, or at the dinner table, or over the water cooler. Those are spiritual conversations. Another great place where it can happen is in a small group. If you haven't joined a small group after our recent launch, I'll make one more plug, because there's still time before Lent to get involved. Just go to our website and you'll find plenty of opportunities. And be prepared and on the lookout for spiritual conversations elsewhere, anywhere. Sometimes the best conversations happen as we're living our lives, rising out of the content and the experience of our lives. The point is, our faith is relational. God is a God of relationships, and relationships develop and grow strong conversationally. In the context of our conversation about families, I'd like to take a moment to briefly discuss the annual appeal for Catholic ministries. The appeal provides us with a chance to come together in the context of our larger family of faith, which is the Catholic Church and the Archdiocese of Baltimore, to support some very good and great things. Catholic Charities, Catholic Education, College Campus Ministry, Hispanic Ministry, Prison Ministry, Respect Life, and so many other important programs and services that the Catholic Church provides throughout the city and the state that are simply beyond the scope and reach of any single parish. We have the largest goal of any parish in the Archdiocese this year, about $350,000, which is the result of growth in giving here at Nativity, as well as your commitment to the vision and mission of our parish. It's the fruit of your goodness and faithfulness in serving here in this community and beyond this community. And so, thanks for your service, thanks for your commitment and past support. And I invite you to join me in supporting this year's appeal. Even if you won't be making a gift, I invite you to take a card from one of our hosts ministers and fill it out anyway. That in itself would be helpful to us. You can even take a moment to fill out the card right now as the lights go up. Opening the envelope, you'll find space at the top of the card for your name and address and our parish information. Below that, you can check the appropriate box if you've already made a donation to the appeal or you do not wish to make a donation to the appeal. If either of those apply to you, nothing further is needed. Just return the card in the offertory. In the event you are making a gift or pledge to the appeal, please indicate the amount in the appropriate space on the other side of the card, as well as your preferred payment option. Then, tear off the pledge card, place it in the envelope, seal the envelope, and return the card in the offertory in just a few moments. Or you can take the card home, fill it out there, and return it in the offertory next weekend. Either way, you can keep the pen. You can also use your phone to scan the QR code on the front of the envelope, and you can always give on our website. If you have any questions or seek assistance, stop by the information tables on the concourse after Mass. As I mentioned, Nativity has the largest goal of any parish in the Archdiocese, by far. And you know what? That's a good thing. It's a good thing because we're leaders. We're leaders in our faith. We're leaders in our family of faith. Thanks for your leadership.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by a few minutes each day can change your life during Lent. Ave Maria Press offers booklets for daily devotion, reflection, and more from such best-selling authors as Gary Zemak, Greg Kandra, Father Michael White, and Tom Corcoran, and so many more. Looking for Stations of the Cross booklets or books that are perfect for small groups? We have those too. Head over to AveMariaPress.com and use code LENT20 to get 20% off your order today. Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small batch artisan coffee using top-tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/Breadbox Media. Experience coffee like never before.